Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What is up, everybody? Thank you all for joining me on the latest Mortcast, part of the CSGN MHS network. And I'm, of course, your host, Jeff Morton. This is going to be, I can't call this controversial, but this is going to be, hopefully, an educational and different way to look at the NBA. In a previous podcast from about 2-3 weeks ago, I was talking to you about why the NBA has basically screwed itself on defense and why we can't, as a as a basketball viewing public, why it's hard for us to look at things a certain way, and it's because the NBA basically created defensive 3 seconds, which opened up the lane. And combining that with the exaggerated three-point shooting that goes on, it's created this vast chasms of spacing in the NBA. And I want to explore this further. And by the way, I did a podcast on this about 3 years ago. Maybe even longer. 4 years ago, on how basically Shaquille O'Neal, and I've talked about this all over, fundamentally changed the way the NBA reffed, because they couldn't properly referee him and blah blah blah. I talked about that then, but I kind of want to go over now a different aspect. And that is something that is anathema to the NBA. This is something that they spent 24 years, 25 years trying to get rid of. Maybe in 26. Yeah, 26 years. This is, as you can see by the title, Hand Check. Now, for those of you who are younger than a certain age, so like if you're a teenager or you're in your 20s, And you have only been watching basketball, say, for the last, 15, maybe at the longest, but maybe 10 years. You have not lived in an NBA that had anything to do with hand checking. And it is hard for me to kind of tell you exactly what the NBA looked like with a hand check rule. And not a hand check rule, but the lax enforcement of hand checking. The NBA tried to get rid of hand checking in 1979. It was perceived to be part of the reason why there was so much brawling in the NBA. And this is a common theme, by the way, common theme. They once again, in the 94-95 season, after that Nuggets big run, this was a lockout year, very brief lockout year, but a lockout year. And the NBA was, during that, right after that lockout, came out with a hand check rule that was basically never enforced, largely because this is the era of the superstar center. And they wanted to emphasize superstar centers. As someone in the league told me years and years and years ago, the league conforms to its best players. And other than Michael Jordan, most of the star players in the NBA in that era were centers. So you get a scenario that kind of creates this tension. Post-Jordan, and really the line of delineation as far as hand-checking goes to post-Jordan. Now, for those who don't know, hand-checking was basically you are entitled, the NBA is about entitlement to space. And you can intrude on an offensive player's space with one hand. Let's say one hand. If you put two hands up, it would have been a foul. So with one hand, generally on your hip, you could have put it on there, but it couldn't be in there longer than a certain amount of time and all this stuff. There's a bunch of different caveats to the whole hand-checking thing. And what that would do is basically allow Michael Jordan was the king of hand-checking. That would allow you to guide your defender where you want them to go. You could always keep in contact with your defender. Excuse me, your offensive player. So Michael Jordan would do that like a lot. He would he actually famously did that with in the Utah series a couple times. In the last Utah series of his Bulls career in '98, it is just about crowding and it's about space. That is really what it's about. It's less about the contact than it is about the crowding. And the NBA has always had an internal battle with hand checking. It has been largely perceived as the reason, scoring and defenses get bogged down, or not defense, but offenses get bogged down. And, the NBA certainly felt like that back when Larry O'Brien was still the commissioner. Definitely saw that as an impediment to what they were trying to accomplish, specifically on offense, particularly once the ABA teams caught in and the ABA teams were adjusting to the lack of a three-point line, and the NBA teams were adjusting to these super athletic ABA teams that came into the league, which is why the Nuggets spent the next 3 years being one of the best teams in basketball, coming fresh out of the ABA. The hand checking had a lot to do with a perception, and I'm going to emphasize perception, that it was the reason that offenses were largely bogged down. In the 80s, you still had hand check enforcement, but what happened was the pace quickened and the 3-point line came in 1980-81 season. And that did open up scoring more. And then you had the Showtime Lakers and the Doug Moe Nuggets and these high-flying teams that largely scored by pushing the pace. If you look at the scoring of these teams. If you look at these, the Lakers teams, and you look at those Nuggets teams, they did all their scoring with twos. I think Alex English, in his entire 16-year NBA career, only shot 30-something threes. So think about that. Now, their teams shoot 33s in a game right now. So there was a concession to the greater spacing with the three-point line coming in. The greatest offensive offense explosion I've seen in my own lifetime is probably in the mid-'80s to the late-'80s. By about 89, the Detroit Pistons began a physical form of defense, which, by the way, the Pistons weren't exactly like the 90s Knicks. That team still scored a ton. It wasn't the slow it down thing that we saw in the 90s. A lot of that had to do with the lack of volume of threes, I should say. A lot of that had to do with relegated to the role of specialists. There was the Mark Prices. There was Michael Adams. There was Larry Bird wasn't a specialist, but he could shoot threes. It was the bastion of people who were just basically snipers, and you didn't have a team-wide three-point shooting. The NBA really was okay with the direction. But once the Pistons came in, and then the Knicks, and then the Riley's Heat, and Larry Brown's Indiana Pacers came in, that bogged the league down. And by the time Jordan retired, the league was just you were getting 75 to 79 scores. You would get, games and with scores in the 80s and stuff like that. And the NBA never, and I'll be 100% honest with people, the NBA never liked that. They tolerated it because it was the way all the teams were going. But it was seen as the causality of it was the NBA thought it was basically causing all these fights. In particular, Ron Harper, and I forget the guy Ron Harper, the Knicks and the Bulls in 94 during the playoffs. That was stemmed from aggressive hand checking. So the NBA was getting sick of it, and it really took Jordan retiring in the aftermath in this really rough period after the lockout in 1998. That really kind of spurred the league to try to change. The 99-50 game season was just a morass. It was hard to watch. I have told many people I have known who know me as a basketball fan, and the 1999 season was one of the hardest seasons of basketball to watch. It was just dreadful basketball. A lot of that had to do with the rate of games they were playing. A lot of that had to do with the style, and there was no Jordan. And you didn't have that great individual scoring other than Allen Iverson, who was starting to come into his own by this point. So by the time 2001 rolls around, and Shaquille O'Neal for the previous two seasons had just been actually running roughshod over the NBA in Phil Jackson's Triangle in Los Angeles, the NBA goes in and says, okay, we're not going to do anything about hand check, but what we are going to do is, because the NBA's rationale, and they said it at the time, was that there's already a hand check rule, okay, which was really put in 1994-95, is what I was stated previously, is that that was really the first hand check, you can't do it thing, which they never enforced because the league liked the way the league was going. It was the peak of the Jordan era, the coming right after that. And that is also the same year that they brought in the three-point line, which served to reduce the amount of spacing in the court. But anyway, by the time you get to 2001, they decide to change illegal defense rules and do what was known as defensive 3 seconds and offensive 3 seconds. It fundamentally changed the way centers could operate. Basically, the league was saying, centers, get out of the lane. But it really took the Malice at the Palace for the league to take a hard line look. And really, and I can't say, I hesitate to say, go too much further than to say the league understood that it was a moment for it to fundamentally change the way things were going. And once again, the bugaboo was hand checking. So coming out of this brawl from 2004-2005, the off season, there's another lockout, and the NBA emerges from it with a dress code and a strict enforcement of hand checking. It was determined that guards will lead the way to a better and more fruitful offensive explosion. And it took about 3 years for diversity in offense to kind of swing to more perimeter stuff and drives. This was more of a, it wasn't a sudden evolution. If anyone who saw the 2006 series, which was the first finals, which was the first one after all these rules came in, it was roughly similar to what you'd seen before. 07 is, you saw the offensive explosion with the Mavericks, and 08 you saw another offensive explosion. In 09 the offense is starting getting better. By the time you get to the early 2000s, anyone who's listened to this podcast knows, Daryl Morey started basically about 2012 started doing experimental stuff in their G League team. I think it was Rio Grande. And it basically consisted of what you see today. Threes, layups, free throws. And you see an exaggeration of that going on in both Houston and now Philadelphia. It was taking advantage of the spacing and taking advantage of the rules. The Morey, I can't blame him, knew that the spacing was going to be hard to overcome for centers. And it really took, it wasn't the Miami Heat in 2012. It wasn't the David Lee, Draymond Green thing in 2015. It wasn't those. It was Daryl Morey in the early 2010s basically saying, you have all this space and 3 points is worth more than 2 points. That is it. That is where it began. People credit the historic. You cannot replicate the Golden State Warriors. They're the greatest shooters of all time. They would have got there eventually, whether it be David Lee on the court or Draymond Green. And you have historically great shooters. That's what happens. And the rules were conducive to this. And that is what has led us to the 2020s. And basically, defense is having no chance. No chance. The defenses have no shot because you aren't entitled to any space around, and particularly with the landing zone penalty, you have no space to guard on the perimeter. Spacing is still exaggerated as hell, and it is hard to get any sort of ability to hold teams down. No one has, unless you have a team of, it's very specifically athletic defenders who can cover, I mean, and I'm talking about multiple 2, 3, 4 positions, which no NBA team has, by the way, you're not going to be able to play defense. And that's just the way it is. And on the other side of the break, I will give an argument, not saying I support it, I'm going to give an argument for why the NBA should bring back hand check and why it would benefit the league. But first, I'd like to talk to you about Blanchard Family Wines, located between 18th and 19th in Blake and Wazee in beautiful lower downtown Denver, Colorado. Just a couple blocks away from Coors Field, right in the middle of the dairy block. They're always online at bfwcolorado.com. There's a branch in Fort Collins now. There's also the one in California. And there is the one that I have gone to, the one in the dairy block. Whites, reds, Colorado wines. Anything you need to give yourself a great, great wine experience. I will sometimes go down in the afternoon, have, you know, responsibly have a one glass of wine while I do some work. It is just one of my favorite places to go in Denver. If you go to bfwcolorado.com, you can order yourself a bottle. They got all their varietals there available for you to look at. And my suggestion would be the 2018 Cabernet, and their Pinot is actually really good. I've been enjoying that one lately. Once again, they're located between 18th and 19th and Blake and Wazee in beautiful lower downtown Denver, Colorado, just a couple blocks away from Coors Field, right in the middle of the Dairy Block. They are always online at bfwcolorado.com. They are on Facebook and Instagram under Blanchard Family Wines. When you go in or you talk to them, tell them Jeff Morton from CSG Podcast sent you. You know, doing something as radical as bringing back, as relaxing hand-checking, is not something that I anticipate will ever happen in the NBA. In fact, I will tell you that I think the NBA is dead set against it. And it's dead set against it because of its perception that it causes fights. Its perception that it causes brawls. It has nothing to do with the offense and the way that things kind of have unfolded since 2000, well, basically 1994, when they first tried, well, not 79, but when they first tried it in 94, there wasn't an appetite for it. But when they finally got the excuse in 2000, the offseason of 2005, there was the "we're never going back there" kind of thing. Okay. Now, this is just a hypothetical. One of the big reasons offenses are so explosive is because on the perimeter, you're getting three free throws. If a guy goes into a shooting motion, the NBA has tried to tinker on the edges with this, with the rip through foul adjustment, with the, if you do that, you only get two free throws. They have tried and it hasn't worked. It is impossible to guard on the perimeter. Largely, it's impossible to guard on the perimeter because you have to cover a lot of space. But one of the ways you can mitigate that is if you allow the defender some entitlement to space. The NBA has gone so far in the other direction that it has really made offensives like it's cartoony. It's cartoony how bad how inflated these offensive numbers have been, and they're getting worse and worse and worse. Defenses have no shot. And yeah, it makes for somewhat entertaining basketball, but I gotta tell you, it is also very monotonous. And I, as a Nuggets fan, love the fact that they can score as easily as they can, but I do worry that the NBA has gone so far in one direction that it's going to be increasingly hard to go back. The offensive balance the league had in about 2008 to about 2012, it was actually, I thought, pretty cool. It wasn't over-reliant on threes. You had a nice mix of mids, layups, threes, and free throws. And the NBA of now, it bears no resemblance to the NBA of 10 years ago. It just doesn't. And the one way the NBA can do this is to lax up the enforcement of hand check. And that would be, in the NBA's mind, leave you open to aggressive play and people getting angsty and not, you know, and all this stuff that they're constantly worried about after the malice at the palace. I think, you know, I'm not saying that this is something that will ever happen, because I don't think it will. The NBA is done with hand checking. It's not coming back. But it's a way you can give the defender a chance on the perimeter, is to give them entitlement for space. Another factor is flopping on the interior with centers, which I think is ridiculous. They shouldn't. Once again, that's entitlement to space. That is, you're saying basically it's the old Shaquille O'Neal holdover where this guy's so big and we can't officiate him. That's really what it is. But on the perimeter, you need to be able to have the defender have the entitlement to some space. And it's got so bad that because of the quote freedom of movement era that we're in right now, that defenders on the perimeter are traffic cones, and you know that any benefit of the doubt is going to go to the offensive player because there's no hand check and the landing rule. And all of this stuff is stacked against defenders. These are rules, folks. This isn't because of skilled offenses. This is entirely due to the fact that rules have handcuffed defenses to the extent where they can't defend. Particularly once teams realized that 3 points was more than two. Once that era began, the exaggerated spacing just became, it just, like I always describe it as a funhouse mirror, but that's what it is. You watch a game from 2023, and then you go back and watch even 2012, it is night and day, the spacing. It is just, in a league, as I always say, in a league that where the entire goal of a game is to manufacture spacing, it is what the NBA is, enough space to get off a shot. The rules have made it clear that, well, we're just going to give it to you. You know, people talk about poor spacing with games because of people who can't shoot on the perimeter. And quite frankly, should it be that? Some of the games that are bad are just due to teams shooting poorly, which is, come on. The NBA has backed itself into a corner and they know it. They know it. I will go to my grave saying this. The NBA, the law of unintended consequences has been visited upon the NBA by handcuffing itself to freedom of movement. Yes, offenses are great, but you have the Oklahoma City Thunder scoring 150 points on the Boston Celtics. That shouldn't happen. You know? And what did what was that thing said about Peyton Manning 10 years ago? Was it Star Wars numbers or something like that? Well, this is Star Wars numbers. And defenses, let me tell you, folks, it's not about skill. Just defenders are helpless. They can't do it. You can have all the athleticism that you want. If you have to cover so much ground, that's why the whole, quote, small ball thing has come in. is that you just need to cover so much ground that it is hard for a bigger guy to be out there, okay? You've handcuffed the league to the point where you can't have centers. Well, what's the flip side of this? Well, the flip side of this is completely bonkers offensive numbers that you can't take seriously. People scoring 60, 70, 50 points regularly every night. Is it entertaining? I don't know. Maybe I'm out of time. And quite frankly, you'd be justified in saying that I was. I am a guy who grew up watching 90s basketball. So obviously, you know, that's where my brain is. But the exaggerated cartoonish numbers are ridiculous. And I think the only way the NBA could do it is either A, like I suggested in the last podcast, constrict the lane and go back to defensive 3 seconds. Or allow hand-checking. That's it. Really, the NBA's got no choice. If they were serious about defense. If they're not, we're going to see what we're going to see. And the NBA's going to accept that we're kind of at this defense is impossible era. You know, Bill Simmons always talks about how teams discovered the three. Yeah, they did. They discovered the three after they realize that teams won't be able to respond to spacing. And that's what happened to the Los Angeles Lakers in 2011. That's what the Dallas Mavericks did to them. They outspaced them. And it's just gotten wider and wider and wider since. And now it's just, like I said, it's impossible to guard. And a lot of these teams that are poor teams are just bad shooting teams. I mean, if that's what we want, that's what we want. Like I said, handshake's never coming back. But the NBA's got to do something. And I just don't know if they've got it in them to go down that road. In order to make it more fair, they have to do something radical. And I have not seen the league have the stomach for that sort of thing. Not in the last, you know, since 2005. They really haven't. We shall see. All right. Thank you all for joining me in the latest Morecast. I'll be back, well, probably a couple days with another episode. Goodbye.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.